The country with the most economic growth in Asia is, bet you can't guess.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is hosting this year's G8 Summit. Learn more about the region's business credentials online at g8ni2013.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The highest growth rate in the Asia-Pacific region. News today, it's the Philippines, which grew at a surprising 7.8% rate last quarter. The BBC's Marika Oy is on the line. Marika, top GDP growth in Asia, would you have said China?
Well, David, you have to remember that China hasn't been growing as fast as it used to be. And on the other hand, the Philippines economy has been somewhat underperforming for many years in Asia. So the fact that it's done very, very well today with the figures for the first 3 months of this year, it's very impressive. But I guess it's not as surprising as one might think.
So, Philippines economy that has been underperforming, but beyond that, what accounts for how the Philippines is doing?
Well, if you look at the details of today's figures, it's quite impressive. Firstly, people are spending a lot of money, and that's mainly because of the money that the Filipinos working overseas send home. But also, the government has been spending a lot of money as well in infrastructure and other projects. But having said that, I should also mention that poverty still remains a huge issue in the Philippines. So even though the economy may be booming, it doesn't mean that the entire country has been benefiting, and the gap between the rich and the poor has been widening, and also the unemployment rate hasn't been falling either. It was actually more than 7% in January, which was even higher than what it was towards the end of last year.
Some crucial points there. The BBC's Marika Oy in Singapore. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The U.S. government comes out with its latest assessment of economic growth today, and some forecasters are expecting the number to be revised downward from an earlier calculation of 2.5%. It's important to note that GDP does not necessarily correlate to well-being, many economists argue. Perhaps tweets do. Seriously. According to National Geographic, researchers looked at millions of tweets for references to happy things and mapped the result. Louisiana and Arkansas and Maryland aren't too happy, according to this analysis. But the good old state of Maine shows up on the map, positively glowing with happiness. Nevada, too. Saddest city in America, judging from the tweets, apparently Beaumont, Texas. Now let's do the numbers. It's called a correction, and the Tokyo stock market just got one. By one definition, it's when stock prices fall 10% from a recent peak. The Nikkei today fell 5.1% again today. It's still up about 30% for the year so far. The FT 100 in London is trading in positive territory, but just barely. There's a program called LEED, L-E-E-D, that doles out brownie points to buildings that are environmentally friendly. It's considered a mark of distinction in most quarters. But in North Carolina, some lawmakers are considering a bill today to ban LEED on public projects. Shannon Mullen reports.
A LEED-certified building can get up to 110 points. Two have to do with wood, whether it's grown locally and sustainably. In North Carolina, few timber operations have the certification LEED requires, which blocks the use of their lumber. Rita Hike with the American Forest Foundation says LEED standards are designed for industrial operations like Weyerhaeuser.
Small landowners don't necessarily find it cost-effective to participate in one of the larger industrial standards.
So the industry wants the state to end LEED certification of public buildings. The group that developed LEED, the U.S. Green Business Council, defends its tough standard. Lane Burt is the council's policy director.
The reason we don't recognize all certification standards equally, it's because they're not equal. A candy with a third less sugar is still not a health food.
The timber industry is on the offensive in other states, too. Florida and Mississippi have similar bills, and the governors of Maine and Georgia already banned state projects from using LEED standards. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It's the time of year for annual shareholder meetings, which also means activist shareholder initiatives, plus protests by unions, consumer advocates, and their allies. This year, the agitation is getting a boost from overseas. Many U.S. activists are pointing to April's terrible factory collapse in Bangladesh to examine wages and working conditions in the U.S., Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Who's Walmart? I'm Walmart. What do we want? Respect.
A carload of striking Walmart employees practice their chants on a cell phone as they drive from Maryland to Walmart's shareholder meeting in Bentonville, Arkansas. They've raised thousands of dollars to bring a garment workers advocate from Bangladesh to join their protest. Cynthia Murray is in the van.
We work for a billion-dollar company who's doing injustice to them, just the same as they are doing to us workers at Walmart stores across the country.
Murray makes $12.40 an hour. She wants higher wages, reliable hours, affordable health care, demands that pale in comparison to those of workers in Bangladesh.
We know that the protections for workers are stronger in the United States.
Guadalupe Palma helps organize low-wage temp workers in Southern California who load boxes for Walmart.
The same type of system that is in Bangladesh and in other countries of subcontracting and sub-subcontracting is in the warehouse industry in the U.S.
The global connection seems like a bit of a stretch.
Is there some stretching that goes on? There's always some stretching that goes on.
Sociologist David Meyer at UC Irvine says labor has always used tragedies, like the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York, to organize. Nowadays, it's about right-to-work laws.
Activism about the garment industry, even if the garment industry is abroad, is meant to connect to activism for public sector workers like teachers and firefighters.
Meyer says these campaigns will also have to galvanize consumers and voters if they're going to force change. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Dow will start trading today at near 15,302 after falling 106 points, 0.7% yesterday. Index futures are up. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.